Okay, so welcome everybody to the May 7th meeting of the our release 7 PNFD SDSCAD ANA schema on 5G service modeling call. So we do have a few new people, so I'm going to just kind of go over what we've been talking about and just to set people's, get everybody on the same page, okay? So there's quite a number of topics that has taken many months to go over. So it would take the whole hour actually just to go over everything that we've been talking about. So let me try to, as fast as I can, maybe in 10 minutes or so, give you a kind of overview of some of the major work that this one-off meeting is trying to achieve. So in the modeling meeting itself, there's kind of not enough time to go over some of these things, and some of what this meeting is trying to do is to set the stage to be able to present in the information modeling calls. So one of the big things that Erickson had started with myself and Jacqueline Bovlak is talking about the civic address fields from Etsy, and we're looking at some of those standards. And as a result, one of the things we were looking at, we think might be missing, is the information about geolocation. So basically being able to model information related to the location of a PNF. So what's there today is this structure for the location of a VNF. In other words, it's the data center of a VNF, or the data complex of a VNF. And that's modeled by a complex object today. But we find that's, but there's nothing really yet for a PNF's actual location, which of course will be important to be able to identify where the PNF's location actually is. And it turns out there's actually a number of standards already, as you can imagine, providing guidance for that. So RFC 6225, the TM forms GB922, and the MEF forms MEF78, these all provide some insights into how you could model this geolocation information. and it's so evolved, actually. After some number of months of discussion, Kevin Skaggs, who has now since retired, has suggested that we use essentially some of the modeling concepts from the TM forms GB922, and notably the place object. So he had, and I've taken out the diagrams, but you can go back to previous meetings where and that's probably instructive to see one of these previous diagrams. So this is kind of what the object model looks like. And I guess Bob Papa, who's on the call actually, might be helping to take over from Kevin Skaggs' work. So I think Kevin had wanted to introduce a place object, which makes sense, into the information model. And from that place object, the PNF can derive location information. So one of the problems right now is I think ANEI is using the complex object to associate with a PNF's location, which that's just because that's all there is, right? There's nothing there yet. That's why there's this hole that we need to solve. So let me stop there just for a second. Do you have any questions on that? Does that basic idea make sense to you?
I'm okay with it.
Okay, all right. So that's, there's some discussion, we've had quite a number of, just a bit of discussion about that. You'll see what we've done here. So this is the GB922 standards. So there was some action items coming out of this meeting to, hey, let's take a look, let's have a detailed look at the standard. What is it telling us? What do we, you know, what is it suggesting, and what do we might need to incorporate? So it talks about latitude, longitude, altitude, and this uncertainty. And these are all the parameters essentially that are suggested from the standard. So I think if we incorporate all these standards, we're kind of quote unquote in good shape. So let's see. So this is the analysis of a complex object, and you'll notice that the complex object already has latitude, longitude, elevation. But again, the original design of the complex object was to specify a location of a data center, right? It wasn't intended to specify the location of a PNF, or an XNF. And in a sense, I mean, that's kind of the location of a VNF, if you will. I mean, the data center is kind of where the VNF resides. So anyway, there's there's been a fair amount of activity around this of this group to discuss. Oh, hey, Jacqueline, I see Jacqueline's joined. So Jacqueline and I sort of started these meetings to discuss how to address this. Jacqueline, I'm just kind of bringing up people up to speed because we've had some, you know, new people that are joining the call for the first time, I think. So I'm just kind of describing what we've been doing in these meetings. So then we went to the standards people working in the standards, and we met with Tim, who suggested that. And I should have notes in that somewhere, who suggests that basically we should introduce this into the ETSI standards. We had a meeting, we had a one-off meeting. Actually, there's a whole recording, I think, for it, if you want to listen to it. Here on April 9 here. And I don't know if I made a separate thing for it, but anyway, we had a meeting with Tin, and he showed us some standard stuff. We discussed about, how to incorporate and what we need to do. So he's looking to incorporate this into the release 2 mid-year version 3.3.1, I believe, of the ETSI standards. So that's underway. Okay. Another thing that we were looking at is the PNFD mapping and USL 001. We looked at some multi-language support, but Jacqueline and I had started with the PNF plug and play flow in release 3, and then Jacqueline did an analysis of the civic address element. And it might be useful for you to see that. Okay, here. And I think it's here. So let's see, we were looking at the civic address elements, which basically describes all the civic address stuff and the civic address elements that are used. And then we're mapping that to the ANI and what's an ANI and is what's an ANI sufficient, basically. So this information is, again, it's not inventory information, and it needs to be stored somewhere, and it needs to be modeled as well. So what we're looking to have ONAP do is introduce something like like the complex object, similar to the complex object, I think, but for PNFs, basically. And you'll notice that this complex object has a lot of the sort of place information that you would want. And again, these are things that, I mean, they're not related to inventory, it's related location stuff, right? So that begins with a discussion about, from a modeling standpoint, a discussion of the place object. So we probably need Andy Mayer or Bob Papa to help us introduce that or lead that discussion of introducing this place object into the official information model. And then I think that place object will have all of this kind of data in it. And then I'm not sure exactly how it gets stored. I guess, you know, once this object is created on PNF creation, that object is created and stored somewhere, maybe in the CNPS database. and then an ANEI PNF entry would associate itself with that entry for the PNF, just like today when I create a VNF, as I understand, this complex object is created for a VNF, and I think a VNF can associate, the ANI entry for a VNF can associate itself with this complex object. So anyway, that's some of the things we're doing there. So these things are the ones in red you see on the table. In other words, these are things that didn't have a map thing. So Jacqueline found that there were, you know, when we were talking, there's some things that don't have a direct mapping in the complex, in the ANI complex object. So, and then let's see. Okay, so there was some PNFD mapping stuff we were also talking about, and looking at the PNFD at C NFB SL001, and so we're looking at that as well. And then the 5G service modeling, which is its own use case as well, and maybe I should split this off into its own separate meaning, maybe. But many of you have been on presentations or on calls where I've presented about the 5G service modeling. So let me see, is this use case new to anybody? I think most people I recognize have been on calls or have given presentations about the service modeling. So anyway, the idea here is that we're trying to structure ONAP to be able to turn up a 5G service and to be able to create the actual resources that you're going to associate with the 5G service. You're going to eventually, at some point, we need to turn up an actual real, DU, 5G DU, 5G base station. And I just got off a call literally minutes ago, right before this call, where they're discussing the slicing and ORAN ONAP line and turning up 5G base stations. So pretty soon, probably within the next release or two, you know, we're going to stop using simulators, and at some point we're going to try to integrate a real DU. So I'm just going to close this here. okay. Hey, what's going on? Open that accidentally. Okay. So a 5G service, any kind of service, right, has a number of resources associated with it, XNFs, policies, templates, blueprints, deployment artifacts, and so forth. And there's some standards, the 3GPP TS28.540 and 3GPP TS28.541, which are the network resource management, 5G network resource management standards, which talk about a set of objects and parameters that are suggested to be used with the 5G base station. So analysis of that standard, and basically took a look at all of the objects that are in that standard, and all of the classes that are suggested. So there are basically some suggested objects and classes that could be incorporated. That's not to say that ONAP has to adopt these, of course, but it is the suggested object model. Let's move. The suggested object model that it uses in the standards. So what I think would be a good idea is to introduce maybe one of these objects in the platform information model, just so that when we want to introduce a whole bunch of these objects, it's not so haphazard. And simultaneously, a couple weeks ago, I attended a network slicing team call. And actually, that team call is actually also discussing something very similar in parallel. So they're looking at, of course, the slicing objects that's suggested from the standards, and for similar reasons, they want to also, they're also thinking about or asking around, like, how do we introduce this object, right? They're gonna come across similar sorts of questions that I came across when I started engaging various teams to talk about this. So I had gone to the modeling team, I presented this at 5G call, I presented this at the use case realization call, and I presented this requirements call, I presented this architecture call, I presented on many, many, many forums already. And in all those various forms, including this, the configuration and persistency service calls too. So very lots of different people had lots of great input and lots of good discussion. And you know, some people said we want this to be model driven. How do we handle the domain specific stuff? And you know, how much of the 3GPP suggested models do we have in the current model exporting? And what are the existing use cases? I just mentioned that the network slicing team and OFSON PCA, those are actually 5G use cases that also could be using, and certainly as I, you know, as I said much more recently, found out network slicing is looking to introduce some of these objects. And of course, how do we store all this information? Where do we store all this information? Architectural concerns of how to not haphazardly introduce modeling stuff related to this, but to do it in an orderly manner. Talking about, I've gone to the ANEI team 3 times to discuss the parameters that, you know, is there coverage in ANEI? Does ANEI need anything new? It turns out the bottom line is, to make a long story short, ANEI doesn't need any new things, so that's good. And the requirements, the VNF REQ project, and then of course, lots of various modeling discussions and just exactly what do we need when, you know. So you might say, well, in theory, we don't need to introduce any of this except for maybe the network slicing stuff in R7 or stuff that OFSON PCI uses. That's why I'm just suggesting we introduce maybe just one object somewhere instead of everything. But I fear, my big fear is, you know, there's whatever about 90 some odd parameters. I mean, when you need this and you suddenly need all these parameters, you know, we tend to operate in this panic mode, which I think is really bad, you know, and it creates technical debt. So in R6, R7, we have time to think about and carefully introduce something. And you see, just from me going to all these meetings, there's lots of things to consider that takes lots of time to discuss with people. And then duplication, of course, you don't want to reduplicate things that are already implemented. You need to find out what's already there, and if things that are already in suggested from the standards can already be handled by something else. So, okay. So this may grow as well. This topic itself may kind of outgrow this meeting. So we'll see. For now, I've kind of incorporated into this meeting as well as a topic. All right. Just want to see. Okay, good, everybody. So what I'm going to actually do, by the way, just so people can see, So I was creating a wiki page for every meeting, and I think it's just it's a lot of overhead on my part, and I think I found out it's just as easy to, if I just create a single meeting page. And then load the recordings and stuff on its own separate thing all together. So I started doing that with the CNPS team, and I think it works. So I just have one line for the date, and then you can access all the recordings all at once. Well, that's kind of a quick overview of everything that's kind of going on in this meeting. Any questions? Jacqueline, did you want to add anything to what I said?
No, I think you've covered it pretty well.
Okay. All right. Any questions from anybody else? Yeah. Okay. All right. So I suggest let's move to where we were last time. So we met again on April 9 with Tin, and I had a separate meeting. He called another meeting. I met with him and one other person basically just to kind of a status of where we are and where do we proceed. So he is moving forward to introduce. From our discussion last time, Jacqueline, I don't know who else was on the call that last time, but, I know there's the April 9, yeah. So Tin and Fred and Jack, so there are a number of people, many people actually, Faye were on that call with Tin. And if you recall, we were discussing the, and you can listen to the recording if you weren't there, at the bottom here, there should be a recording of the meeting. So we had discussed I wasn't too familiar with the Etsy schedule and standard, all the various versions, all the stuff, and he described for us the thing of the releases. So the release, the major, next major release is at the end of the year, but that's going into Honolulu, R8, right? So he's looking to introduce this this information into our R7's time frame, in other words, this year's version 2 release. We probably need to just make sure and underscore that we've already presented the modeling team, but I want to make sure that it doesn't fall off the radar. And I think last time, Jacqueline, we said we're ready to present the geolocation stuff, at least kind of where we are, which I think is a good idea. So my takeaway is that that we need something similar to the complex object that is specific to the PNF. If you recall, we looked at these fields and we said, oh, you know, some of these fields like complex name and data center, these aren't relevant to a place. And the official, again, the official thing that we want to introduce is that place object. And really, I think if we were designing this from the beginning, which we are, right? The right way to do this is to have the place object in the information model, and then from that you can derive the location related stuff, because the place has all that stuff. So I think it would be good also for people to see, and you can just go to the standards body and download the stuff. But at least you can see the GB922 location. So you'll see, we spent some time discussing, well, place, is that really a good name for this? And at first I thought that wasn't a great name, but it turns out that place was chosen because of the standard, right? So that they used in the team form, they used a place as a place name, and they have a really complex structure for place, which I don't think we need to introduce all of this stuff. Well, let me stop here for a second. And Bob, did you touch base at all with Kevin Skaggs at all? I don't know, or Andy, because I don't know how I would expect somebody to help us introduce the actual place object. I don't know that Jack and I would do that, or at least I assume knowledge to do that.
I'll have to talk to Andy on how we do that. Right.
Okay.
To see how we move forward on that.
Okay. Okay. Great. Because again, I don't have the sort of the skill set to do that, and I can help out in any way you want with the analysis or running meetings or whatever. I think if you follow this link, and it's in the meeting things, I'll put our meeting notes in the link. Put our meeting notes in the chat here, and you see where. Is this today's meeting? I think this is today's meeting. Yeah, okay.
Do you have a link on that page to Jacqueline's comparison doc too?
Yeah, that should all be there.
Page.
Yeah. So let me I'll put more links here. So the parent page is off of you can always click up here to get to the parent pages, but right now all our meetings are in the plug and play parent page, because eventually during plug and play, maybe not the actual use case itself, but essentially during plug and play is when you would report or when you would fill in that the geolocation stuff. So I had added it as an epic into the plug and play use case, because it just kind of needed a home, right? It needed if somebody asked, where is this? Why is this needed, or where is this needed? We'll right now point to plug and play. But now it's also being associated with the, it's also being associated with 5G service modeling stuff. So let me link that as well here. And also the R6, I want to access previous meetings and recordings, which is all off of the R6 plugins page. So you can look at the whole table of our meetings and stuff and listen to recordings if you want to catch up. At the moment we're meeting once a month, and we may need to increase that as we move forward, but for now we're meeting once a month. And like I said, the 5G service modeling stuff may outgrow just this meeting, or a fraction of this meeting, because we'd only have a few minutes to talk about it at any given time. And I see also someone joined. Okay, so I think, one of the first things we need to do is maybe Bob and Andy can meet and talk, and I think Bob, you might have been in some of our previous meetings before, but I think where we are now is from an ONAP modeling standpoint, and Jacqueline, you can jump in and with your thoughts too. But I think what we want to do is introduce this place object, right? And so we can base the place object off of the TMGB922. We can base it off of some of the stuff in the complex object. I think once this place object is introduced in the modeling information model, then you'll have all the information you need to associate a PNF's location with something, right? And then we probably need to go to ANEI and say, that thing you're already associating PNFs with, right? I think right now they're associating it with a complex object. We may need to see if there's some change that we need to do there to have it associate with the place object instead. And then also for the CNPS database, the Configuration and Persistency Service database, so the stuff needs to be stored somewhere, and I would assume it would be stored in CNPS. Certainly, all of the stuff that Nelson is doing with the 3GPP TS 20.540.541. I mean, all that stuff I'm expecting to be stored in the CNPS stuff. So. So that's kind of a roadmap of stuff, but we need to, we're slowly moving forward, but I think the next step is maybe Bob, if you want to invite Jacqueline, myself, or whatever in that discussion, that's fine. You can do that by kind of speaking with Jacqueline, but you can at least invite me in if you need any help or whatever, but so if you could look into that, that would be great. I think that's a big action item.
Okay.
Would help us move forward.
I'm wondering if there's going to be actually like duplicate attributes in the place object that kind of duplicate that's in complex.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I would expect there to be quite a bit of duplication. But they're for different purposes, right? So, I mean, and Kevin was aware of that as well. He was... The visionary that said, we should introduce the place object driven by the GB, TMGB 922 standard. And if you were starting ONAP from scratch, I think you would just have the place object and not have the complex object. Maybe the complex object, essentially you would instantiate.
Have a relationship to it somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's the going forward that they need to think about in ANAI, right? Is that, okay, there is duplicates, but, can they in time convert to, say, take that data out and put it in a place object or something? But we'd have to talk with ANAI and see what they're...
Right.
If they agree with something like that.
Yeah. So I've been to the ANAI team twice on this topic. And they described to me more, and that's where I got some of this, the Swagger documentation, all this stuff, all these links. So I've gone to the ANAI team, and they've told me about how their usage of the complex object and so forth. I think what we want to do is say our intention is to use this for the PNF object. So when you have for VNFs, that's fine. You can keep it as it is. Maybe it's not going to eventually be kind of in line with what Bob and Andy would do for the place object. But I think for the PNFs, before we get too far, you know, before an actual turn on a real PNF, if you introduce the object stuff, if you introduce the modeling properly, I think it'll be a cleaner design. Because if you don't, I think what'll happen is you'll start associating PNFs with a complex object thing for its location, which I mean, might work, but it feels very much like a kludge, right? You know, somebody's going to go, well, PNF doesn't, you know, what the data center code, that's not totally relevant. And the silly code, I mean, those are totally relevant for a PNF, right?
Yeah, but won't there still be at times a PNF that is in a complex? That might be confusing.
So once, and I was just on a call, like I said, right before this for the network slicing ORAN, and they were talking about VDUs, right? So it is on the roadmap, if you will. Eventually a 5G base station will have more and more that's virtual and less that's physical, right? But you know, I said just on that call, I said, you'll never not have some physical element at the site, just because you need a radio, you need something that sends and receives, you know, radio wave signals. You need something that has multi, you know, that can do beamforming, that has massive MIMO, that has things to beam steer. You know, you can't get away from that, the actual physics of a base station, right? You always have that. And it's true that the RU, I have a picture of it, in fact. So you'll at least always have the RU, and eventually the RU may kind of morph into a PNF. Right now it's not a managed object, although ORAN would want this to be a managed object, is pushing for this to be a managed object, a PNF. But right now the DU is, clearly, it's a physical thing because the modem's there and there's, you know, hardware there and stuff, and the ECPRI management and stuff, modulation, demodulation. So, but as more and more of this moves either into the edge cloud or centralized cloud, you know, the CU is a VNF, and eventually the DU may become a VNF or partial VNF and less of a PNF. But I think that's kind of down the road for me, right? Like I we can't even turn on a real PNF in our, I don't think it's going to happen in our R7. So let's say, you know, maybe the earliest might be R8, I would guess. So for the DU to sort of meld away to become a virtual DU, and there's talk about it, right? So, I mean, a few years from now, maybe, right? So it's down the road. Okay, but just for you, did that answer your question?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, okay.
I see the point. I mean, I see the relation there from a 5G perspective, but will there ever be like a PNF that's not a related to, you know, 5G, you know, the non-mobility type of PNF, if there's any in AI?
Oh, sure,
today,
of course. Yeah. I mean, know. Like, so that's the question of other domains, right? If we look at the notes, you know, ONAP is ONAP, for example, will be working with fixed wire, you know, fixed networks with, you know, optical, you know, meaning like routers and things. You know, there's many other perceived or envisioned things that ONAP needs to work with, right? Not just base stations, right? So also in the core network, you know, it's going to manage a whole bunch of other, you know, the user plane function, session management function, the unified data management function, and so forth. So there's other things that are, but these are probably VNFs too, right? So, but routers are an example of a PNF, right? So a router is a PNF. That's kind of a dumb PNF, right? In other words, it doesn't have a lot of, you know, software management type stuff in it, and it's a simpler box than a base station. So that's an example of a PNF, but again, I envision that the PNF would also use a place object, right? So it's a router is a physical box that has a location as well, right? And it has an actual physical place. That's not necessarily in a data center, right? If that helps, I don't know. So kind of what you're asking is, are there other domains like wireless, besides wireless, that would also use the place object? And one definitive simple answer is, optical routers, for example, that domain that ONAP would also manage, also has PNFs that would use a place object. But again, the parameters that that we've talked about are most notably in the spreadsheet that, or the slides that Jacqueline started with the civic address and stuff. I think these are the sorts of things we would want in the place object. And if you look in the standards from which is driven the IATF 4776, I think if you look at, these are the fields from the complex object, and these, Jacqueline's mapping says, well, we have all of these things coming from the civic address elements, and at this point we can probably just use what's in the complex object with maybe the introduction of one or two other things. So I don't know, Jacqueline, what do you think? I think if we were creating the place object, you could probably just start with what's in the civic address stuff and maybe, take out some things like data center code. Look at what's in the GBD standards and look and see through the standard what makes sense to incorporate. Maybe you would want, local address or something. And they talk about like literally geographical, geometric, locational, like geometry, algebra type, location type stuff. So there's a lot of other stuff they talk about in this structure of objects. And I don't expect the ONAP place object to have 20 other children objects. I think we just introduce a place object with a few parameters, 10 parameters or something, that would be fine.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of this which might be interesting on an abstract level, but I think we can probably collapse a lot of this. And as you say, I mean, for our needs, this is way more in a sense than we need to actually structure. We have this as a reference, of course, but I think that's going to be the point now where we actually want to sort of pick and choose and see what do we think will be relevant for our use cases, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah, because I mean, this is a structure to base ourselves on. We see the validity of having a place type object, and then we can sort of pick and choose what we think will actually have a need for.
And I see Andy join. Yay! So, Andy.
Yeah, sorry about that. I lost my mind this morning.
So one of the things, Andy, we were saying is, if you recall, we had a discussion with Kevin Skaggs, who retired, about introducing this place object, and I think that's that's our next step, right? I think if we think about the place object and introduce the place object, then we can move forward with the PNF location stuff, right? So
yeah, because I think the idea was describe the logical model with place and then show how it maps over to the complex object in ANAI. So I think early on when the work was started, mm-hmm. On geolocation, the idea was let's make sure, first do no harm, right? Let's not, break anything that's there currently, mm-hmm. but rather, look to see, first of all, that be used to support the requirements, right? So what we've been spending time on this call is kind of identifying what the requirements are and always keeping in mind is an ONAP component, utilizing that information, right? Because realizing that there's other reference databases that probably service providers have as well, So this is not going to be the steward of all location information for a service provider, but rather the information about geolocations that ONAP needs to do its job.
Right, right. And also, if you recall, we discussed that, you know, that this is very VNF centric. This is like a representing a data center, you know, and what we were looking to do is that a PNF location, right. Yes, it can be used for a PNF location, but I think we were looking for a more generic PNF place.
For example, like a complex name, if we overload that with just saying, you know, network name, or because it's a silly code, right?
And a PNF doesn't have a silly code, obviously, but that
discussion. Well, no, a PNF should have a silly code, and as a matter of fact, in almost every North American carrier, they do.
Okay, but I think
at least the network element supporting the PNF does.
But the PNF itself is the physical box that we're talking about.
Then it's a network element, and it does have a silly code typically. Yeah. Now, in other parts of the world, no, there's no silly code, but there's an analog to it that would be used. So that's kind of what I'm saying is there's fields here that could be reapplied for the PNF needs.
Right.
Even if we logically model something a little bit differently in location, right, or place, we can map location code to a complex name or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So anyway, I think then for me, if where we are now is we had talked about introducing the standards, and to catch you up, before you joined, I had mentioned that TIN is looking to introduce this into the standards, to locate the geolocation stuff. I think the next step, one of the big next steps, is to introduce the place object with a focus on a PNF location, you know, the information about a PNF location, right? Which is how it would first be used, I think. And not so much to replace what the ANA infrastructure has for VNFs. So I think the complex object is fine for VNFs. And if we were designing ONAP from scratch, I think we would have introduced just the place object generic enough that it could be used for both VNFs and PNFs. But given where we are now, of course, we have to integrate those two things together. I also mentioned, Andy, the where I was with the 5G service modeling, and I think I've presented it on the modeling call, and I don't know if I should probably go back again, and it's on the R7 planning page, model planning page already. But I think the next step I want to take there is to look and see. Let's take a look at the standards objects and just ask ourselves, let's pick an object, see, you know, it's not going to get used in R7, right? Whatever object we introduce, I don't think it's actually going to get used in R7, but I think we can introduce it into ISOMI experimental state so that at least it allows the CNPS team and the, you know, information modeling teams and other teams to build their infrastructure. It gives them something to work with, right? Right. Instead of just working with the pure, vaporware, they have something to get their teeth behind, right? So
you're going to put we have a high level modeling requirement for that.
We do. I put in the roadmap. Yeah.
And it's like future, right? You put in.
Yes, I think I put in. I think I put it in. It's not future because I wanted to introduce an actual. Let me see. Make it to it. I wanted to introduce an actual object. So if you introduce an actual object, is it a even an experimental state? Is that something that would be future? I mean, it won't probably be used per se, but I put it as a little document for Guilin as a category 2 thing. I think when I asked before, you said to put it in category 2.
Well, let's go. If we're modeling the geolocation, right, then it's...
Well, this is a separate thing. So the geolocation stuff is one thing, and this 5G service modeling is in a separate thing. Both of which are modeling efforts, right? This is about the place object, right? So And this is about, let's take an object from the 5G service model and introduce it into as experimental, isomy experimental.
Yeah, okay.
So, okay. So when we had, and also, Andy, we have a number of new people here, so I also just sort of summarized what we've been doing in the past few months. So
so when you say you're going to model the 5G objects, is there an intent that that's going to impact any particular systems at all, or?
Well, so the objects that are described in the 5G NRM is kind of a complete view of all of the 5G systems. So that will very much depend on what object we choose to introduce, right? So my thinking is we just introduce the object. I don't think it should impact any software whatsoever. We're just introducing an object because it gets us thinking about some of these things like, well, you know, this is a 5G RAN specific thing and but yet we want to introduce it. How do we introduce that, right?
So, yeah, so I'm kind of going back and forth in my head about this a little bit because the item you have is the service modeling work for 5G, right? Which I think a lot of people might interpret to mean like the slicing activity or the design model that you're going to instantiate in SDC. The resource model, however, I think is kind of a different thing. And I'd almost suggest writing a different requirement for it.
Well, the reason why I called it service model is because, you know, let me describe what I'm trying to do. And then,
the one you just showed is definitely a resource model because it had a managed element and.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just get to it. Where is that? Just there a second ago. Okay. So, and I said this earlier in the call, so sorry for the repeat. But basically what we want to do is prepare ONAP to be able to turn up a real 5G base station. That's the goal, right? That's the target, the bullseye on the target, right? We're shooting the arrow to be able to flip on the on switch on an actual real view. What do we need to do that? One of the things you're going to need to do is create something that represents a 5G service, and it'll have some associated resources with it, right?
Right. So that's where the split, I think, is, right? So the top thing, I totally agree, is a service, and you want service models around it. Mm-hmm. The things on that right-hand box, the PNFs and VNFs, mm-hmm. would all be, and allotteds would all be, you know, fall within the resource modeling domain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so is it both? I guess, you know, there's service modeling stuff and resource modeling stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're related, but let's make sure they fall in the right modeling category.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. Thank you. So the standards here, I think these feel more like they're resource modeling stuff more than they're service modeling stuff. They're related more to the actual 5G PNF.
Exactly, because you showed many of these things. You showed the managed element, and many of these things just kind of hanging off the managed element. So I would say,
yeah, and if you look at
definitely would be resource domain.
Yeah, and if you look at the classes, I mean, these are all resource classes.
Maybe not the network slice or network slice subnet, but the things that kind of fall under that to comprise it would be.
Right. Okay. So I think I don't know what the next step, Andy, is. I've already presented the modeling call. Maybe the next step is to go through the OpenMDT standard and actually, as a group on the modeling call, pick an object to introduce. That makes sense?
Yeah, maybe? Yeah. And I'd also introduce that modeling requirement for R7, the resource model for 5G.
Okay.
But we also have to keep in mind, and the question is going to be, well, what components that going to impact, right? Uh-huh. So, sure. I have a feeling I know which one it is, but
to be honest, I've been trying to think my way through the model structure as well. I mean, how do we hang this stuff off of a PNF or a VNF, right? Because at some point we're going to have to decide a lot of what we've done has been based on sort of Etsy in the information model. That's more on an infrastructure level. This is now 5G application level. So we're going to have to see how those two worlds connect with each other, how they mesh.
Like you said, you need the scaffolding. And we have the same thing with VNFs today, right? Any VNF that's kind of being turned up you're turning up a piece of infrastructure sometimes, right? Because sometimes VNF is a piece of infrastructure. But then there's, you know, the configuration, things that you do through AppC on it, you know, through the Yang models and such, which are not kind of part of the core orchestration, but more of the lifecycle management, or we'll say more of the day-to-day configuration management aspects of that network function. And I think, at least what I believe is, you know, most of that stuff is going to reside outside of AAI, right? As far as when I change configurations, I'm kind of just interacting through a controller layer to the network element to enforce those configurations.
The configuration tree will not impact modeling work, right? Like say when the design in the runtime, any configuration change, the parameter change will not change it to the modeling.
Not in AAI.
Yeah.
But if there's another element that's storing that, which Ben, I believe you're proposing a ONAP component to store that. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's kind of stored locally with the controller information, right? It's not a piece of shared information. It's not in a shared repository, but it's localized to the controller.
Well, I would introduce this. Storage-wise, I'd put it into the CNPS database, right? The configuration database.
Which now
controller.
That's what you're proposing. So right now, the role of the controller is to store that type of information locally. Mm-hmm. But your proposal is to break that out into a separate configuration and persistency database.
Correct.
Did I say that right?
Right.
So what's now, that's not officially approved yet, correct?
That's a not easy question to answer. Basically, so there's something in R6. So there's a solution in R6 and we're trying to split that off into its own project in R7.
Okay. But that's part of CCSDK currently.
Right now it's part of CCSDK, right? The R6 solution is that it's part of CCSDK. That's right.
And you're proposing in R7 to pretty much extract that storage component, right?
Correct.
That shared information component to a separate ONAP component.
Exactly. Right.
So what's the state of that? Is that
we presented it at the TSC. We got some questions and a lot of good dialogue and stuff back. So the team, many of which people are on the call, so is going through and answering those TSC questions, and we'll re-present at the TSC to get approval. So we're currently going through the TSC questions, and we meet every Friday. I don't know if you want to join our calls, but
it might be, at least for my knowledge, it might be good if you at least send me that.
Sure, absolutely. Invite. Yeah, it's also on the calendar. They don't have calendar, but I'll do that.
So I guess the point I was trying to get to, if it's localized information, we haven't been modeling a lot of stuff that's not shared across APIs currently, right? So our focus on modeling has been on shared information on the platform. Mm. Either you're presenting it to the outside or it's being shared among components or presented across APIs. I think if you're to pull out the information into a separate repository inside of ONAP, then a lot of these things that we're talking about do become, would need to be modeled, right? Because you would need to, and I keep saying it, you need to model the scaffolding, right? Yes. So you'd need to model the concepts of a subnetwork or network managed element or endpoints and all that stuff that you're going to hang and decorate this information.
Right. Agreed. Yeah. And how do we do that? So I think do I go to the modeling team and say, let's do this?
Absolutely.
Just say, no,
you would come to the modeling team, with the ideas, right?
Okay.
And maybe, you know, propose it as an R7 kind of, you know, future requirement.
Right.
Or if that project gets approved for R7, you can say that it's, you know, documentation only for future implementation.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is, Ben, I think the R7 in terms of CNPS, modeling work, you can do paper exercise. We can talk Friday.
Yeah.
Real software defined impact may not be impact.
Yeah.
We'll make sure consistency for architecture improvement the time being.
Right. Yeah. So I think Andy, I agree with Joanne. I think the modeling work will take some time to discuss, as it already has. And maybe I should definitely bring this again. I brought it to the modeling team before, but again, it took so long just to introduce the basic stuff. I think the next presentation should be more, this kind of what you were suggesting, this is the next step, this is what we need to do. I think, you know, what we want to do is have a discussion about creating some of the scaffolding and
if we're starting, you know, brand new, if we're creating an inventory database like ANAI, we would start with, you know, as we're defining the ANAI schema, we'd be providing the logical model along with that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the Andy, like the say Ben, right? Let's say slicing, like the network slicing, right? For use case, what they do, they will be part of their effort, or they will come to the modeling, say, you know,
That's a good point. So network slicing, Andy, wait one second. So network slicing has its own use case, and clearly they're kind of related, and they're doing their own modeling things. So I think, you know, the thing is you have different teams already kind of needing this stuff, this scaffolding, as you're talking about. They don't have any of that scaffolding yet, so they're going off and doing their own modeling stuff and discussions, and so it's already kind of chaotic. And I think if we provide that infrastructure, they could then point to, hey, look, CNPS is starting to introduce and spin off its own place to store the stuff, and it's got its own modeling discussion. Let's hang off of that, right? That makes sense. Okay. So maybe the next step here is I go to the modeling team again discuss with the modeling team, you know, this use case again, and see what the next step should be to introduce the resource changes into the resource model to support. Eventually, I guess CNPS would use this. So, okay. And Bob maybe could help out too. I don't know how, where you would fall in or how you would get involved, Bob, but certainly, you know, if we're gonna introduce this model, would you be involved in helping us introduce that? Or Andy, I guess, would be, I'm not sure.
I mean, whoever is proposing the model should introduce it.
Yeah, I'm not going to propose this whole model, right? Or do you think I should take a first step?
No, you should probably say, what do we need to store in ONAP, right? Yeah. And if you have your project or a notion of a project, it would be good to start putting some model work behind it. So especially if it's a repository. There should be an information model that describes, you know, what's in the repository, what path do I follow to get to the information I need. And that kind of helps and guides API development, right? As well as the schema formation. If you don't have a schema for the database, or for the repository, it could be a problem, right?
So maybe if you could attend the CNPS call tomorrow, that would be nice, because to have a sort of knowledge.
Yeah, what time is that call?
It's at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard.
Okay, I should be able to make that.
Yeah, so the same time as today's was.
Yeah. So I think they're just starting to talk about some of that. And the CNPS, right now, the stuff that's stored in it is basically the OFSON PCI, because that's the one use case that's actually using it. But if we intend to extend that to, you know, other things like to store, you know, the 5G modeling stuff, we should start thinking, get the team starting to think about what the, that one of the things you're mentioning, right? So,
and sometimes if and I don't know the schema and what it looks like because I haven't seen a model for it, but the thing is, so, when you start with one use case, you really have to be cautious, right, about keeping the model as general as possible so that that schema can support other types of services or other types of resources in this case.
Right.
I'm so assuming it's mainly resource modeling.
So the one we have so far, based on the, we have the discussion, right, Ben and Andy. So we can talk on Friday. So the so far, at least our 7 release, Ben, just make sure, right? We have the, we use the, in the Architecture Pro you present that day, right? We use the YAN model to online, you know, pre-onboarding package. So schema design is based on the YAN model design for schema. So eventually, if the modeling work, eventually in the future, I'm talking about in the future, how the model right now to mapping the YAN, that's the story talking. But at least R7 in terms of CNPS, we have model driven, but it's driven by YAN model. It's not a really, we can talk about Friday if, you know, just make sure, you know.
Yeah, so Joanne, I understand that you're, when you interact with the managed elements, you're going to be interacting, you know, with NetConfig perhaps, right? But the idea is, if I'm storing information, right, that it relates to those NetConfig models, there should be a common set of constructs that describe topologies, connectivities, elements, endpoints, those types of things that you would hang and decorate, you know, with the more detailed implementation specific resource information, right? So so you should be able to extend it, you know, for almost any type of resource, but you should have common constructs that you're always applying. And and the industry's worked hard on developing a lot of these common constructs with Geo2-5, Geo2-9. I'm sure ITF has another one. but you know, also ONF has really developed a very nice model that perhaps could be applied.
Yeah, so, but I mean, right now, Andy just say the one, so, I mean, for based on the, so far for R7, just to make sure, because we may not be modeling impact, because we talking about modeling, your modeling may not be the one, because we talking about we use YAN-driven, the YAN-driven pre-onboarding package already existing capability, then the pickup from DMAP, they just, you know, we, the CNPS based on the design time YAN to do the schema. So at least connectivity you're talking about, network simulation, they based on the YAN to do the physical network connectivity.
Yeah, it'd be good to understand where it is now, right? But also, I think during R7, you could also have a future modeling requirement to kind of, you know, mature a model that you can use to enhance or, you know, evolve. To kind of get to this point.
Yeah, so all that modeling work for CNPS, I mean, I think we would need help from, it would be good to get help from some people, modeling experts in ONAP, to introduce some of this infrastructure.
Right. And the way to do that would be to introduce a modeling requirement. And then we have a something to work from.
Yeah, so...
So, and we'll create yours and everything around it, you know. So that's so how. Right.
So Joanne, actually, we don't have a modeling requirement yet. Should we introduce one?
Ben, we have to make sure the workload just don't be too big. That's too, you know, we're just starting. Yeah, we can talk about Friday.
Yeah, and see that we have that modeling spec commitment column, right? And we do ask that people. Step up and do the modeling, right?
Yeah,
we'll help, but we do need someone that's willing to spend the time.
Yeah, we'll talk on Friday call, we want the scope really concise. So then the TSC will say,
you want to, at the beginning of the release, make people know that for CNPS, we expect some modeling work so that the modeling team is aware. If you don't put something here, And then suddenly halfway through the release, you want to introduce modeling, right? That's probably really bad, right?
But that's only paperwork, right? We're talking about
documentation
work. Documentation
only, right.
Yeah.
So I think if from what Andy's guidance here, if we need to do some modeling stuff, we should probably add an entry here for documentation only for the CNPS project.
So the one in the SDC, in the even ONAP, right, the complex service model in the like, right? So one, whoever for the PTL, right, we need to bring that in. I think they had some complex service model defined in the SDC. So how much level PNF information, you know, they have defined the PNF, how the you know, to the, to like, recursive for the complex service model, define the PNF, define the P server, how much the deep down for the architecture. Now the hierarchy, we need to bring that person, and certainly we need to bring that person in. Yeah. We can talk about Friday.
Okay. Yeah, maybe let's talk about it Friday.
Yeah, I'm going to have to drop it.
Yeah, we're over time. All right, great. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for joining. Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. Bye.